Good morning. It's always wonderful to be here to worship our holy Heavenly Father with beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. It's Thanksgiving coming up. Thanksgiving. When we always do that, you go around the dinner table and what are we thankful for? Absolutely. Well, the other thing we do is, what goes with Thanksgiving? Turkey. Shocker that Rob is going for the Lions. No, turkey and stuffing. And what are all these things? Provisions. And that's what I've been thinking a lot about with this. It's actually my first holiday sermon, kind of. I always seem to miss it, especially at Eastside. And what are we really thankful for? God's provision. God's provision is abundant, and God's provision runs deep. This morning, I would invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and while you're turning there, should be a short turn, it's in the very front of your Bibles, thinking about God's provision, and you know, one of the things that really hit me is how God provides, and a lot of times that looks very different than what we want provided for us. And the best example I can give you on that is, it is a personal story of how we actually got here to Batesville. In 2019, we had decided that we were going to move out of Seattle, Washington. Why? Because of Seattle, Washington. And our initial thought was, well, let's move to Texas. Texas is central. We like the area. There it is. We're going to go to like the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Two of our kids were there at the time. And we listed our home. And for 6 months, not one person viewed our home. Not one. We knew that we needed to leave Seattle. We knew that God was moving us away from there. But our idea of where we were going to go was not where God was going to be glorified. And then come 2020, and our friends who lived here that we've known for years, they're all, well, why Texas? What, have you checked out Arkansas? Well, no, but we will. Sure enough, in 2020, a year later, when we listed our home and decided that we were going to move to Batesville, Arkansas, we had 8 showings the first day, 2 offers. Day one. Now, if that's not God's providence, I mean, that it certainly is. But it's how God provided for us. He made everything easy. And I got to say, I'm standing up here and I'm looking at my family here. And Karina and I have been married for 15 years. And we've never had a church home until Calvary. We never did. We tried, but it didn't work. God's provision runs deep. So let's read our text this morning. We're going to go from verse 1 through 14. And this is a wonderful story of God providing with Abraham and Isaac. God's word says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, your provision, it does run deep, and we see it. Lord, I pray that you would set me aside, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word this morning, and that you would fill our hearts with thankfulness for all that you have provided, all that you do provide, and all that you will provide. We are your people, and we know you love us. I pray that we would focus on you, worship you this morning, and in all that we do, it would be for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the point of this, really, to see God's provision for us through Christ. This is not a message of have faith like Abraham. This is for us to feast at the table that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is shown so abundantly in this text. And what we've seen before, back in Genesis 15, Abraham has already been shown that God keeps his promises. When God says he's going to provide, he provides. And Abraham's seen this and experienced this already at this point. This is probably Abraham's finest moment because he doesn't question like he did before. He obeys. He obeys God's command, and he does so knowing that God is going to provide a way. See, we know that God provides for his people, but are we willing to wait and let God provide for us in a way that's going to glorify him and not necessarily how we want to be provided for? And the answer to that should be an emphatic yes, through Christ and for Christ. Three things that we're going to be looking at in this text this morning is: one, Abraham's obedience through faith. Number two, what is Abraham thinking? And then finally, God's provision for Abraham, for Isaac, and for us, all in Christ. All in Christ. So going back to verses 1 and 2, we're looking at Abraham's obedience through faith. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." God commands Abraham to take his only son. Not only his only son, but this is a miraculous birth. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was in her 90s. If there's any question that it wasn't Abraham and Isaac doing this, or Abraham and Sarah doing this with Isaac, it is God providing this. There's no question about that. But at the same time, this is an incredible ask that God's asking Abraham to do. I mean, think about that. At 100 years old, I give you a child that I promised you. Now I want you to go kill him. That's an incredible ask. And again, we're seeing a difference with Abraham here than we did before. There's no question with Abraham. There's no question. Let's move on to verse 3 through 5, because we see Abraham's response. So Abraham rose early in the morning. No question, he gets up, rises in the morning, saddles the donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, rose, went to the place of which God told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." This is pure, unadulterated obedience. And on an incredibly tough ask, you ask me to sacrifice my son, and if there's no choice, the first thing I'm going to say is, can it be me instead? How about somebody else? Please, somebody else. Not this. Not only that, you promised this son to me. This is the one that you've promised that was a miraculous birth. Yet the command's given, and Abraham follows it without question. See, Abraham's faith has been secured in the promises that God had already made to him, and he fulfilled those promises. See, we already have this today for us. God has fulfilled the promise of his provision for us, for all of us, in the same way he did with Abraham. Because God sacrificed his only son in place for us and for Abraham and for Isaac and for all of those who have faith in Christ. But we see here no questioning, just obedience. Moving on to verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. What's going on in Abraham's mind? Let's go to our second point here. This is the best point to me. What is going on in Abraham's mind? We see pure obedience with no questioning, but what is Abraham thinking? I'll tell you what he's thinking. I'll give you the spoiler alert. He's thinking if he goes and sacrifices Isaac, that God is going to raise Isaac from the dead. That's what he's thinking. That's how Abraham thinks that God is going to provide in this situation. But don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for this, because we have scripture that tells us this. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. If you're not familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, this is the Hall of Fame of faith. And there's something in here with Abraham that's amazing. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. That's what Abraham's thinking. That's how Abraham, in his mind, that's how God's going to provide for me. But we know that that's not the case, because it's not Isaac that God had ultimately planned to provide, to raise from the dead. But he wants to show it at this moment that there is a Messiah to come. Because who did sacrifice his only son? And who did raise that son from the dead? Our Heavenly Father did that, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fulfilled that. And that's what we're seeing here. That's abundantly clear at this moment. Moving on to verse 7 and 8. And Isaac said to his father, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. So now it's not Abraham asking the question. Now it's Isaac asking the question. Isaac's asking the right question. Where's the lamb? Dad, where's the lamb? God will provide the lamb. And we know this to be the case thousands of years later, because God does provide the perfect lamb for him, for the sacrifice. This is why I wanted us to look at Psalm 40 today. David makes it very clear. In sacrifice, you don't want it. In burnt offering and sin offering, you're not pleased. We can't sacrifice. We can't make the sacrifices that are enough to appease a holy God. We cannot do that for ourselves. Only God can provide this, and he did provide this. I don't know about you, but we sure do try, don't we? I know I try. I wrestle with things and think, well, I got to make amends for this one. Think of our Catholic friends. It's exhausting. That is an exhausting proposition, to try and sacrifice for yourself to appease God. And every other religion does it. Devout Muslims, they sacrifice. Devout Buddhists, they make sacrifices. Everybody tries to sacrifice to appease a holy God. Yet here, what God has provided is the most important thing that all of humanity could ever be thankful for. And that is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, risen from the dead, and now at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us at this moment. Let's move on to God's provision for Abraham, Isaac, and for us through Christ. Going back to Genesis 22, let's go 9 through 13. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. See, God stayed Abraham's hand, and he spared Isaac. And it's because he had already had planned that another, Jesus, would die in Isaac's place. That's what God had already decided. That's what God had already planned at this moment in time to provide. And we can see that now when we look at all of salvation history. And we have that same promise. See, we have the same promise that we will never face not even one mollicum, not one iota of God's righteous anger because of what he showed here, fulfilled in Jesus, bringing us to redemption. God also provided a ram, not a lamb. This is an unfinished story at this time. God is not going to provide the perfect lamb at this moment because he planned to provide Jesus. So he provides a ram. Here you go, Isaac. There's a ram. Stay your hand. Do not sacrifice your son. God provided abundantly. Not only that, because of all of this, we don't get to taste any bit of God, of the sting of death. We do not taste. God's brought us in. And we have not one speck of God's righteous anger that falls on us. I want us to look at Romans 8, 31 through 34. So I really think that Romans 8 captures this. Romans 8, 31 through 34 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." This speaks volumes to God's provision. And think of this. If Jesus can die for the sins of the world, he's got you. He's got you. Health struggles, financial struggles, relationship struggles, God's got you. He accomplished the greatest thing that could have ever been accomplished in all of history with humanity. He's got the rest. What does Jesus tell us about this? Look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Your heavenly Father clothes them and feeds them, and how much more worth are you? You that our heavenly Father calls sons and daughters. Whether adopted or not, we're sons and daughters. Princes and princesses of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will he not provide for us abundantly? In Christ, the answer is an emphatic yes. It has to be. And if you don't know Christ this morning, if you have not put your faith in Jesus and repented of your sins this morning, and you're not feeling and getting God's provision because of that, I invite you right now, put your faith in Christ, repent of your sins. Be called a child of God. Because of what he's done, because of what he sacrificed. Nothing we can do. God wants no part of our sacrifices. He wants no part of that. When I start thinking I need to sacrifice or I need to do something, how insulting is that to Jesus, who did give everything, who did die, who did suffer, who did sacrifice? God wants no part of that. Let's finish up in verse 14. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. See, we see God's provision not just in this account, but in all of salvation history. And God's provision is so abundant here that even Abraham himself calls the mountain God provides. Now, God's provision is much bigger than that mountain, to be sure. But Abraham saw it. And he literally names the place that this is happening. God will provide. It's all about God's provision. And again, we have the same provision that Isaac and Abraham were provided in Christ. We have this same provision. God has provided, he is providing, and he will continue to provide. Because he's told us. When God says it, take it to the bank, cash the check, it's done, game over, that's what's going to happen. And Abraham saw this so abundantly, so that we could see it abundantly. And God shows it to us here, pointing to his son, pointing to Jesus, so that we could know that God provides. So what am I thankful for this morning? What will I continue to be thankful for? The greatest gift, the greatest thing that God could ever provide, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That certainly is enough to be thankful for. And again, not only that, think of what we read in Psalm 40 this morning. David couldn't hold back from saying it to the congregation. His lips wouldn't be bound. Couldn't be. Can we take that? Can we take that thankfulness and proclaim it out in the world? Can we share the gospel in what we say to others, how we treat others? Can we live the gospel? I sure hope so. Because that's what a thankful heart does. Proclaims it and shows it. God has always provided for us, will always provide for us. I'll finish with this. Just two things. One, take comfort. If the Lord, again, can provide a path to conquer death and hell for us, how much more will he provide anything we need for his glory? And two, be encouraged. Be encouraged. I read this in the question, can God really be this merciful? Can he really be this merciful? And the answer, when you fast forward to Jesus, is an abundant yes, an emphatic yes. The Lord is this merciful, and it's in his mercy and his grace that he provides for us. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, your provision is so amazing. Your grace runs so deep. Thank you for providing your son. Help us to be thankful for that always, not just when we think of a holiday about Thanksgiving, but in our daily lives, every minute of every day, let us be thankful for what you've provided for us in your son, and what you've done for us, and what you've given us freely. Help us to proclaim that to the world outside of here, to our neighbors, to the people we run across. Let our lips proclaim your salvation. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done. And I pray this in Jesus' name.